behind home plate. We bringing it to them all day. All day. You know what's up? Welcome to Birdland. Birdland. Win or lose, we bringing it to you always. Always. You know what's up? Welcome to Birdland. Orange or black, we rebuild the pack. No matter where we at, you know we coming back. Section 336, we on this, so tune in. Tune in. You know what's up? Welcome to Birdland. Yeah. Welcome to Birdland. You know what's up, welcome to Birdland. Birdland. Now, here come the boys from Section 336.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Baltimore sports fans of all ages, welcome to Section 336, next generation of Baltimore sports talk. I am your endearing starting host, Matt Soroka. As always, I'm joined by the button lover, Josh Soroka.
Hey, Matt. How's it going?
Oh, can't complain. Can't complain. We're in for some late night baseball.
Yeah, I love late night baseball. I wish it was weekend late night baseball. That's the thing that's even better. But late night baseball is always fun. So I don't know about you, but my legs are pretty sore. I think I might have to take 15 days off.
Think so? At minimum.
At minimum.
No, you're fine. You're fine. Now, if you were struggling on this podcast, not performing well, I would say go ahead and take the 2 weeks off.
Oh, are you implying to come on here
and do it?
Are you implying that maybe Austin Hayes' batting average also has something to do with his sore calf?
Listen, I'm not saying that the calf isn't sore, but I am saying if he was batting 350, he probably wouldn't go on the IL for a sore calf. That's all I'll say.
Yeah. Okay. Then in that case, have you checked on Jackson Holliday's legs?
Yeah. Well, he's, I was looking at some interesting numbers pre-show.
Yeah.
About Fangraphs WAR, and I was trying to see who's the top list for the Orioles, but I accidentally clicked it again, so it showed me the worst ones. And then I was like, oh, well, yeah, Austin Hayes was there, and I had to quickly turn away.
Austin Hayes, Jackson Holliday.
Jackson Holliday is at negative 0.07.
Jackson Holliday has 0.7. Jackson Holliday has the worst start of a prospect in baseball since like 1990.
Yeah. You know, but Josh, did you know that Babe Ruth started off 1-15 in his career, and he went on to, and so did Cal Ripken, and really every Hall of Famer who's ever played started off 1-30 with 20 strikeouts, and they all turned into Hall of Famers. So did you know that stat?
Everybody goes through a slump. Very few people start their career with this big of a slump. I am reminded. I'm blanking. I wish I had Hyunsoo Kim's music with me right now.
Yeah.
Because that he went what? 0-30. And that did not go well for him.
Yeah, whatever it was.
Is it time? I know we started this. We rolled straight into some Orioles talk.
Yeah, I had some more jokes to make about late night games, but you went right into Austin Hayes talk.
We'll get back to late night games in a minute. Let's have this discussion because the Austin Hayes notice came in right before we started recording. So we caught ourselves talking about it before the show even started. But is this the time where on this podcast, after the late inning jokes and fun and everything, is this the podcast where we have to have the Jackson Holliday discussion?
Well, or not. I'll say.
Or that was a long silence.
Well, there's so many ways to go with this. So let me say two things.
Yes.
First, I was joking about all those Hall of Famers starting because I've seen so many people tweet out
excuses
about how bad starts lead to Hall of Fame starts. But what I never see is, I know there's top prospects who have like got off to bad starts and then like were out of the MLB in 3 years. Like I know there are those examples too, but no one ever shares those examples. Interesting. and I don't think Jackson Holliday's going to be out of the league. I think he's going to be fine. But for me to be having this conversation, you have to ask yourself, can Jackson Holliday get better while being on the Orioles? Or is it a situation where they have to send him down to get better? Because the reality of it is, I would say if Jackson Holliday batting ninth is hurting our ability to win games, get that guy out of here. But then I look at the standings and we're in first place in the AL East. We just took 2 out of 3 in a place that's really hard to win at Kansas City, who's playing really well at home, really well everywhere, but especially at home. We still took 2 out of 3. We're playing really good baseball. Our offense, and we can go through it late in the show, our offense is top in so many categories. So I don't think Jackson Holliday's struggling is hurting the major league squad at all.
No.
So then the question becomes, can he get better while he's kind of struggling in the major league squad? And I would argue, I would give a resounding yes. Like, he
can
figure this. I don't think he's going to get depressed and sad and start moping around. He doesn't seem like that kind of kid. He doesn't seem like, I mean, he has his dad to talk to. He understands how the game works. He's faced with, I mean, I'm sure this is the most challenging stretch of his entire career. And it just so happens to also be kind of his debut in the first
right. weeks.
He's going to figure it out. He's going to be fine. So I'm not at this point. And now, listen, if he goes, if he strikes out, you know, 10 more times this week and only gets one more hit throughout this whole week, maybe next week we can revisit it. But I'm not ready to have the conversation yet, especially because Orioles have been playing so well.
I agree.
Where are you at?
I agree. He hasn't cost us the game. I also look at the fact that his replacement would be Ramon Urias, who struggled pretty poorly before Holliday came up.
Well, then why didn't
clean up the same hole?
Number five, wherever he has sitting in the right. lineup.
Hey, I got a. You mentioned you never hear about the bad prospects.
Yeah.
So I got an impromptu game for you.
Okay.
Two guys here that are listed in the. This is number two. I'm going to first start with the number two biggest prospect disappointments in the American League. First one on this list, the number four overall pick in the 2008 draft subsequently became one of baseball's top pitching prospects, ranking MLB Pipeline's number five overall prospect in 2010. Yet, he never found success as a big league starter. After registering a 5.61 ERA over 357 and a two-thirds innings across 69 starts, he was permanently moved to the bullpen in 2012. Do you know who that failed prospect is?
Huh. Are there Oriole connections here?
He is an Oriole.
Guys who were moved.
The Orioles drafted him. The Orioles developed him.
MLB moved to the bullpen.
Yes.
Hunter Harvey's after that, but that sounds like a Hunter Harvey situation.
No. This southpaw revived his career in the new role.
Zach
compiling
Britton?
A 3.47 ERA in 171 innings, though he hasn't seen any big league action since 2016.
Oh, wow. That's unfortunate for him.
Oh.
Brian, that's not Brian Mattis.
That is Brian Mattis.
There you go. Oh, man. My man, Brian Mattis.
All right. Another one with but Orioles.
I mean, I was just thinking there's a litany of guys.
No, there's
pitching wise. I mean, Hunter Harvey was supposed to be starting to move to the bullpen. Zach Britton moved to the bullpen.
Yeah.
We can talk about Dylan Bundy as well. I don't know if he's on that list, but
here's
Dylan
one
Bundy,
more.
Remember, was a can't miss guy too. So
yes.
People say Jackson Holliday can't miss. I've seen some can't miss prospects in my day.
Well, let's stick with that same draft for one more player. The number one overall pick in the 2008 draft climbed through the minors with a mixed bag of underwhelming production and off-the-field issues, but he still managed to reach the majors with Tampa in 2013 before emerging as a near-everyday player in 2017. He clubbed a career-high 22 homers that year between the Rays and the Orioles and produced double-digit homers in each of the next two seasons for Baltimore and Seattle. But even though his power ticked up in later years and gains in other aspects of his overall game have been limited, and he is set to miss the first quarter of 2020 season after receiving an 80-game PED suspension.
See, my first thought was P.J. Upton, but it's not P.J. Upton because he didn't play with the Orioles.
No.
Rays players who also split time with the Orioles.
Rays draft pick, then came to Baltimore, then went to Seattle.
Can you give me a position here? Is this infield, outfield?
He is an infielder. come on. I'll give you another clue. Duquette used to talk about this guy all the time as being a number one overall pick.
Oh, yeah. He loved him with number one overall picks.
Right.
Oh, and is this Tim Beckham?
This is Tim Beckham.
He was hot for us for like 3 weeks. He was great.
He was. For us, he did pretty good.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so. That's funny. He was in the same draft as Brian Mattis.
Yeah, he was the number one overall, and Brian Mattis was, what did I say, number eight overall?
You said number four.
Number four overall. Yeah.
Yeah,
so they were both 2008.
Can't miss guys.
Yeah, guys that should have had better careers.
Yeah.
Now, I thought you were going to pull a
Ben McDonald out there, too.
I do not believe Jackson Holliday is in that class. Jackson Holliday will figure it out. He's got the pedigree. And people have been talking.
I agree. I'll figure it out. But there's no guarantees in this game.
There's no guarantees.
Right. But, so we can't. Do you think at this point he should be voted into the Hall of Fame?
No. But can you remember? But we talked about this when he came up. He is one of the biggest prospects we've seen come up in baseball as far as hype.
And as far as this unanimous agreement that he's going to, like, I've never heard anyone say
Buster Olney's not
going to be great.
Buster Olney called him a Hall of Famer at like age 10.
Yeah. And so there is this, and the way he went through the minors, I think it's an important reminder, Josh, that we're seeing some young players on our team have great years. Great rookie years, like Colton Cowser having a great year. Jordan Westbrook having a great year.
Gunnar Henderson building on that rookie of the year.
Gunnar Henderson. But specifically Westbrook and Cowser, I use them examples because they're 5 years.
Yes.
4 and 5 years older than Jackson Holliday. Gunnar's 2 years older than Jackson Holliday.
Right.
So it's like if Jackson Holliday would stay in the minors for 4 more years, then get caught up, he would be kind of where a Colton Cowser would be.
Right.
So I don't think we can say this enough. He's 20.
He's 20.
He can't even drink.
Matt, what were you doing at the age of 20?
I was not playing Major League Baseball. I was a busboy at a failing restaurant. Now, we had different life choices, different life skills and talents.
Yeah. I worked at Blockbuster Video, I think, at the age of 20.
Yeah, how's that working out for you?
Yeah, about as good as Jackson Holliday's at bats right now.
Yeah. So I think, like, even if he, let's say this is a disaster and he struggles all year, this is a worst-case scenario, and we have to send him back to Norfolk, and then he has to come up next year after going back to Norfolk at the old age of 21. Like, that would be the disaster, worst-case scenario. Right. Here. So, yeah, everyone needs to pump their brakes. But I don't think you have to say, you know, all these Hall of Famers.
You don't have to defend him.
Just chill and watch. I think Jackson Holliday's a confident dude. He's in a good family. I gotta believe he's getting good advice all around. He's also batting ninth on a team that's crushing it.
Yes.
So there's no pressure on him. Even if he struggles, there's no pressure because we're still winning and the offense still producing. Now, if the offense stops producing and continues to struggle, then maybe the conversation shifts a little bit. But at this point, it's no sweat. Like, Jackson Holliday, go there, do your thing, struggle. I don't care. I really don't care. I want Jackson Holliday to be good in August and September and October.
Right.
I don't care that much about April. I don't, especially with our offense humming along. So get it all out of your system now, and then come June, July, August, September, turn it on and figure this thing out and make your adjustments. And you know Jackson Holliday will make an adjustment. He is. I mean, if there's any guy who's built to make adjustments, it's him. And so whether it's figuring out how to lay off the backdoor slider, if it's being more aggressive in the count, or early in the count so you don't get behind, whatever it is, we got really good hitting coaches. He seems to be really smart. He shot up the minors for a reason. He's going to be fine. And
we're in first place.
And we're in first place. So it's no sweat.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
no sweat.
It's not a sweat. If we're not in first place, if we're struggling, if our offense is struggling, if he still continues to struggle, that's a different conversation. But right now, we're not at that point. At least not this week. We can revisit it next week and see where we're at. But right now, I don't think it's good. I still plug him in there. You know, 5 days a week. Given the occasional off day against a lefty, I'm good with that, like today. Because I like to see some Jorge Mateo too. Like, it's not even, like, I don't even care because Jackson Holliday gets a break. And I love watching Jackson Holliday. But against occasional lefty like tonight, we get to see Jorge Mateo. And I'm like, I'm anxious to see some Jorge Mateo. So I'm good with it. It's not like I got to go watch Adam Frazier, Rougned Odor in there.
You've started. You've brought tonight up. And you brought up tonight's positioning. Did you see who's playing first base tonight?
Ramon Urias.
What do you think that's about?
It's about Ryan Mountcastle has some kind of tweaked something. I forget what it was. I read it. But he tweaked something. And we got a lefty on the mound, so you want to get more righties in there. That's why
O'Hearn's not in there.
So, and this gives you cause to give Urias more playing time. So,
I think that's what it is. I think it's the everything's humming. You got to try to get, how do you get some of these bench guys playing time?
Yeah, I think the only question is, why is he hitting fifth? That'd be my only question. Why is he batting where he is in the lineup?
Yeah. I see that. Yeah, that's a whole. I don't know, because I don't have an excuse on that. I do like that Suarez is starting tonight and getting his second start. I enjoyed watching him pitch.
Oh, my gosh. What a big, fat phony you are.
No, I complained.
Before the game, you're like, what are the Orioles doing calling this guy up? Do I need to read back the text, Josh?
Yeah, I said it privately to you and Dad before the game started. Yeah, I did not come on this microphone and catch that as a recording. I was surprised how well Suarez pitched, and I hope it continues.
Yeah, it's a great story. I mean, we talked about him in spring training as, whoa, where'd this guy come from throwing 96 and 97 and finding a new fastball?
And he's been in, like, Japan and
Korea. He's, what, for 3 years or something. He's older. He's been out of the league. And so a great story about him coming back. And the situation we're in, and we can get to the injuries because we're starting to see some mounting injuries here. You mentioned Austin Hayes. This is a more response to Tyler Wells' injury.
Yes.
Again, who was struggling a little bit. There seems to be some correlation. How come none of the good players get injured? The players who struggle tend to get injured. But certainly, I think we lack depth in AAA pitching. We got a chance to see Povich play in AAA over the weekend.
I'd love to see him get the call.
Yeah, he looks really good.
But wouldn't you think the next guy up is Kyle Bradish?
Kyle Bradish?
Yeah.
Is the next guy up?
Yeah.
You mean when he's done rehab?
Yeah, like, don't you think he's about ready? When's he available to come up?
He's had two rehab starts.
Right, so shouldn't that mean he's about ready to go?
Yesterday for Norfolk, he pitched 3 1/3 innings, struck out 4, allowed 4 runs, 6 hits, 3 walks, and 3 1/3. Does that sound about ready to you, Josh?
No, but at least you didn't give me John Means stats.
Oh, John Means. Here we go. He got one out. That's it.
No.
That's John it. Gave Means, up 5 earned runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, and got one out.
Yeah, but that could, you could say the same for someone else. Someone did that in the Orioles rotation this weekend as well.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't think Bradish is. I think Bradish is having a couple more starts at minimum down. Because this whole thing with Kyle Bradish, right, is, well, it's weird because it's the elbow thing. And so everyone assumed, I still kind of assume, I don't want to say it out loud, but whenever it's an elbow, you assume it's going to be surgery. And so, I mean, I think the John Means, I don't remember exactly when Kyle Bradish went on his rehab. You have a month, essentially. And so John Means comes up at the end of the month, and the end of April is when he's up. So his time's going to be up actually before Kyle Bradish. But the way John Means has been pitching, I don't know, right, if they're going to want to pull that trigger or put him back on the IL. Like, there's some questions about John Means and how send they handle him, that.
He might get the DL Hall treatment of, hey, you got to go down to the Sarasota and lift some weights.
Josh, did you see DL Hall is now on the injured list too?
No, I did not.
Yeah.
That's
makes me sad.
That's upsetting.
I don't know what the issue is. I just saw the headline that he's on the 15 ADL.
All right, then help me out then.
Yeah, so I don't think Kyle Bradish is coming up in the next couple of weeks. I think they're going to have to make a decision about John Means, about what to do with him, whether to call him up or keep him down there.
All right, so
So then help me out. Sarasota, whatever.
So then help me out with this roster move because, all right, you put Hayes on the IL and they put this catcher, Banyu, catcher on the roster. Now, they did the same thing with him for the last guy that when Wells got hurt, this guy came up for a game. Is he like an emergency travel catcher that's already with the Orioles, but just not on the roster? Is that why he becomes this placeholder, like last body guy? Yeah. Do you know?
Because I think that the situation.
Because my assumption is they didn't make this decision yesterday with Hayes. They made this decision out in L.A. getting ready for pregame. And they made this decision.
Los Angeles. Yeah,
this catcher is a travel third catcher, helps in the bullpen maybe, warm up, stuff like that. So they add him to the roster until they can get someone else in town, right?
Yeah. It's not a bad gig if you're David Banyu.
No,
because it's a good gig, but he's also number 91. So
that's exactly
what you need to know about him. He's going to be here for one game. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's already been here for one game. Now he's got one more game, but he's really just to sit on the bench if everything goes wrong.
Right. I mean, he got an at bat the other day, didn't he? When they were up by like 7 runs or something.
Oh, I don't remember. I don't remember.
I think he did.
All right.
So like, good for him.
All right. So if everything goes,
10, he might get an at bat.
If everything goes well, he might also get some time. All right. Yeah. So my question for you is: who is on a plane right now, heading to California for tomorrow
to replace Austin Hayes in the roster?
Yes.
Yeah. So you have your options, right?
Yes.
You have your options. We were at this weekend. I drove down to Jacksonville, saw the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp play the Norfolk Tides. And you have some options down there. Essentially, you have four guys on offense.
Yes.
Heston Kerstedt, who is up to 10 home runs.
Yep. Got two on Friday night while we were there.
Yeah, I think that would be leading all of baseball. Is there anyone in baseball with 10 home runs right now? I don't know. I think our leader is Gunnar Henderson with 6. I don't think there's anyone 10. And he's played less games. So, and he's already has 10. So just let that sink in. And then there's Kobe Mayo, who we saw hit two home runs, NBD, as well, when we were down there in a single game. And then there's Connor Norby and Kyle Stowers.
Right.
Kyle Stowers has the major league experience. Heston Kerstedt has less, but has some major experience. And Kobe Mayo and Connor Norby. Kobe Mayo maybe has the biggest upside of anybody in terms of power. And then Connor Norby is a little bit older. He's played almost all year, I think, last year at AAA. So he might be ready for that call-up as well.
Yep. The home run leader in Major League Baseball is Ozuna for the Braves with 9.
Okay. So
Heston Kerstedt has more. And then behind him is Trout with 8.
Oh, good for Trout.
Kerstedt would be at the top. Henderson is tied in 4th with 6.
Yeah. And there's a whole bunch of people with 6, right?
There's a whole bunch of people at 6. And then Kowser's got 5.
Well, so does Mullins.
Mullins has 5. Westberg has 5.
Yeah, we got a whole bunch of 5.
And Santander has 4.
Okay. So, yeah. So those are great names. Josh, can I be honest? I think it's going to be none of them.
All right, so no. All right, so no Mayo, no Kerstedt,
zero chance of Mayo,
no Stowers,
zero chance of Stowers because he hasn't been playing that great at AAA. So I think zero chance Mayo, Stowers. So then I think Kerstedt, there could be a small chance Norby, a small chance Kerstedt.
How do you not do Kerstedt if you want an outfielder?
Yeah,
but then I also don't know how you don't bring up Povich.
Yeah, is it Povich or Povich?
Maybe it's Povich.
I don't know. It's a CH at the end.
I'm guessing I'm wrong. I always thought it was Povich, but maybe it's Povich.
I've always said Povich, but I don't know if I'm right either.
All right. I thought Itch would have a TCH at the end.
Okay, but I was always under the impression that CH makes the ch sound. But
yeah, on the front, but not on the back end. think about it. Itch.
Where's which? That end with CH? Just CH. I see what you're saying with the T. The TCH, no. Certainly. But just ends with a CH.
Nothing. But in the middle of the sentence is the word echo. and it's a hard CH is an echo.
Yeah, and how about this, Josh?
Each. Okay.
Huh? Each. What? Each.
Oh, all right. I had one for you too. How about church? Church. It's a church.
But Josh, to your point, how about this one? Ark.
Oh, good. That ark's a good one.
Okay, so that supports your theory.
Yeah, but what about arch?
Oh, that supports my theory.
It's like the word ravel. Have you seen this going around about the word ravel?
No.
All right, what does ravel mean? What does ravel mean?
Like to unravel something?
Then what does unravel mean?
If you look to unravel means to, like, you know, unwind something or take it kind of apart. Right.
Then what does the word ravel mean?
Then I would assume ravel means to wind it together.
No, if you look it up in the dictionary, ravel and unravel mean the exact same thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, isn't... I remember seeing in Tanzania the word inflammable being, yes, like caution inflammable, like, right, could be caught on fire, as, yeah, well as like meaning the same as flammable. Inflammable and flammable.
Yes, you're right. That's another one of those weird. That's where people make fun of English because we have stupid words.
Yeah.
That all mean the same thing, or words that sound the same but mean different things.
Right.
Or spelled the same.
So who do you think they're going to call up? I'll put percentages on it. All right.
I don't know how, honestly, the way Kerstead's bat is so hot right now, I don't know how you don't bring up Kerstead.
Yeah, I think there's a 40% chance it's Kerstead.
Because you're going to have, but Kerstead cannot play left field in Camden, but you've got Cowers that can.
Yeah, he's playing every day there.
Right. The milkman's going to be out there. So I would bring up Kerstead just for that bat and that DH lineup. Maybe a little play at first base, especially if Mountcastle is banged up. All right, you got me. Who do you think? You told me it would be someone pre-show. We started getting into this and then we paused it because you said that I would not have the person on my radar.
Yeah. I think it's a 40% chance it's Kerstedt. 10% chance it's Norby, 50% chance it's another guy in AAA, who we haven't talked about yet.
That we saw this weekend?
Ooh, no, he didn't play this weekend.
Okay.
We played Sunday, and we weren't there on Sunday.
Oh,
he was on the team last year.
All right, so there's someone who's
an outfielder and plays every outfield position and is right-handed just like Austin Hayes.
And it's and he got a home run on Sunday.
Yeah, now I know where you're going.
Too. Oh boy. You're
Ryan
right.
Ryan McKenna.
You're right. It's Ryan McKenna.
Isn't there a 50% chance he's a fourth outfielder? He's right-handed. If you want another right-handed, replace a right-handed hitter.
It's
the lefty gets complicated with Santander.
Yeah.
He's a switch hitter. O'Hearn being a lefty. You want another righty. You want a fourth outfielder. You don't worry about playing time.
90% chance it's McKenna. 10% it's Kerstedt.
Yeah, that because if you want someone like Austin Hayes wasn't playing every day. And if you're good with Hauser in left, Mullins in center, and Santander in right, and you want to roll with that every day, you can put McKenna on the bench and no sweat. Yeah. Now, if you want to inject some offense,
you could roll that same thing and say, well, Kerstedt's our DH.
Yeah, you could say Kerstedt is your DH. What? But that's assuming Mountcastle's not playing.
O'Hearn
takes first.
No, Mountcastle takes first.
Well, what about O'Hearn? You're going to bench Ryan O'Hearn?
Yeah, it gets tricky.
I mean, it gets tricky. It gets tricky.
This is what happens when you have a decent
lefty
roster.
Mullins is a lefty.
Yeah.
Santander is a switch hitter. So you got three outfielders. Like, if he was a righty, then you could say, well, okay, he'll just play against left-handed hitters, and you can rest a Mullins or you can rest a Kowser against a lefty and put Kerstedt in there. But Kerstedt's a lefty, so.
You're right. I guess I better go over to Jack's airport and see if McKenna's wandering around.
Yeah, I think that's the move.
Yep, I think you're right. It is. It's got to be McKenna.
Yeah. Though then you wonder how many home runs does Keston Kjerstad have to hit before he gets a call up
now. Here? Now 20, the 30, one. 40, 50? All right. Is Kjerstad on the 40 man? Because McKenna
he was up here last year, so he had him, and they wouldn't have taken him off the 40 man. So yeah,
but because McKenna is not on the 40 man,
right?
He got DFA'd.
Yeah, but we have an opening on the 40 man because they DFA'd Peyton Burdick or whatever.
Right, so they opened up a slot on the 40 man, but would they? I guess they'd be okay with in order to send him down again, he'd have to clear waivers again.
Right.
Because he's out of options then.
Right. But I think they're okay with that.
Yeah.
They did it once, right?
Yeah. No, it's McKenna. You're right. It's McKenna.
Yeah, I think it is.
Yep. Especially with the way Kowser's playing, you're not too concerned about, you just need some depth.
Right. Especially if this is, and I assume it is a temporary move, right?
Yeah.
For the 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's not.
Again, you don't want to call it Heston up. Like, Ryan McKenna, you know, they don't care about Ryan McKenna. You can call him up for 2 weeks.
No, you're right.
He'll sit on the bench. He'll come in a couple ninth innings. He'll pinch run a couple times. Then he'll go about his business, and Austin Hayes will be back.
Yep, you're right. Because you want Kjerstad to continue to hit.
And you want him to play every day.
And you want to, exactly, play every day. So you're right. It's McKenna.
Which, in the grand scheme of things, Josh, if I'm Heston Kjerstad, kind of pisses me off, right? Here I am crushing the ball, dominating AAA. I was here all last year.
I'm McKenna.
I was a college player, and I missed a year because of my myocarditis. Yep. And now I'm finally I'm healthy. I'm playing great ball, and there's an injury to the major league squad, so there's an opening, and Ryan McKenna, batting 200 or whatever it is, gets a call up over me.
No, I hear you, but what do we have? There's 3 games in LA, and then we're off for a day, and then we are at home with Oakland and New York. So there's, you're looking at the teams you're facing. I don't know. I would love to see Kjerstad bring that power back home this weekend with Oakland. But I get it. It's probably McKenna.
Hey, Josh, can we talk about this offense for a second?
Yeah, sure.
All right. So if you look at numbers, if you look at the Orioles on Fangraphs in terms of war, they're second in all of baseball. That includes offense and defense, though, right?
Right.
But they're second in all of baseball, only behind Atlanta. Offensive war, just isolating offense.
Yep.
They're first in all of baseball.
Okay.
Base running, first in all of baseball.
Runs
created plus. I don't know what that means, but that's an offensive stat a lot of people look to. First in all of baseball, tied with the Braves, first in all of baseball. WOBA, third in all of baseball. Slugging, second in all of baseball. Batting average, fourth in all of baseball. ISO, that isolated power number, first in all of baseball. And beating Atlanta, Atlanta's 192, Orioles 200, so we're doing pretty good there. Runs scored, we're fifth, but again, teams above us, we play 21 games. Dodgers are above us, who's played 24. Arizona's above us, who played 23. So we got, it's a numbers game there. But Josh, we're crushing all these stats. We're still, I mentioned this last week, dead last in walks. That must be like a philosophical decision to not walk.
Yeah, because isn't Ryan Mountcastle our leader in walks right now?
Yeah, that's what I shared last time.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's still true, but that was true last time. But it shows that I think we're being more aggressive and we're just trying to hit the ball, and goodness knows we're doing it. Yeah, if you look at walk percentage, I'm looking at Santa Fingers right now.
Yeah, Mountcastle's got 9, Henderson's got 7, Rutschman's got 6.
Yeah.
And I don't know, you didn't even say the basic stats of home runs and RBIs, which were leading as well. Home runs
first in all of baseball.
Yeah, and RBI is first in all of baseball.
Well, first in the American
League. In the American League, sorry. I don't count the National League.
Yeah. as you shouldn't. The fake baseball. They let the pitchers hit. Oh, wait a minute.
That's they don't anymore now. Oh, yeah. Wait. No, it's the exact same thing, and now we play them also? Okay.
Yeah. I guess we can count them. Fine. Speaking of, like, here's a fun – just let me just sit with this offense for a second again. Here are some names, Josh. Let me just throw some names at you.
Okay.
And tell me what all these names have in common. Here are some names. Mookie Betts. You ever heard of him?
Yes, I am familiar with Mookie Betts. Plays for
Juan
the Dodgers.
Juan Soto,
also familiar.
Jose Altuve.
Gotcha, yeah. All guys. You know what?
Shohei Ohtani.
These are all people that Orioles Twitter has said we want on our team when they became free agents.
Surely. Bobby Witt Jr.
Oh, yeah. He's supposed to be the better prospect than Adley Rutschman.
Yeah. Marcus Semien.
Okay.
And Salvador Perez.
All right.
Josh,
who's above all those guys?
Well, they're mixed in there.
Okay.
So I just listed to you the top 10 players in WAR on Fangraphs.
Right.
But I left out three players.
Okay.
I left out Gunnar Henderson.
Jordan Westberg.
I left out Jordan Westberg.
And Adley Rutschman.
And I left out Colton Cowser.
Oh, Colton Cowser's sneaking in there.
Yeah, those three are with those other names in the top 10 baseball players in the game right now. Jordan Westberg, Colton Cowser, and Gunnar Henderson. Maybe we would have said Gunnar Henderson would have been top 10. No one had on their bingo card Jordan Westberg and Colton Cowser.
Right. Of course not. No, and Westberg has a .333 batting average. He's leading the team right now. And yeah. The highest OBP on the team. Like, no, I didn't have any of that on my card.
Yep. So it's pretty it's pretty cool what's happening. And Adley Rutschman is actually down at 0.5. So he's down the list a little bit. In fact, Cedric Mullins is above him on WAR. And Adley Rutschman's tied with Ryan Mountcastle and Ryan O'Hearn at 0.5.
That's surprising because he's leading the team in hits.
Yeah, so but only has the two home runs.
Right, he doesn't have the power.
Yeah, and the WAR too. Also, I mean, if you look at that list of names, you don't see very many catchers. Well, I guess Salvador Perez is the exception, but like it takes into account base running too, right? And so I think if you're speedy, you have the advantage. For good base running, you have the advantage there too. But yeah, it's pretty cool to have three guys. And by the way, ages 25, 24, and 22, three guys, 25 and younger, on the top 10 currently for Fangraphs WAR, right? Some of the best players right in the game. That's and with a pretty good list. So that's, to me, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's all stuff to be excited about.
Yeah, and I mentioned this last episode. I just can't get over it. We are first, Josh. Just wrap your head around this. We are first in home runs, right? We have the most home runs as a team. I'm up there with the Braves, the Dodgers, the Yankees. We have more home runs than them, right?
Right.
That's amazing. But you know what's also amazing?
That we have like five guys with five home runs.
Well, and Ryan Mountcastle has two. Adley Rutschman
has two.
and so it's coming from Henderson, obviously has six. Westberg has five. Cowser has five, Mullins has five, O'Hearn has four, Santander has four. So it's that, what I said before, it's that balance, right? That's what we talked about last episode. From one to nine, if you're facing our 7, 8, 9 hitters, it's almost the same thing as facing our 2, 3, 4 hitters in terms of balance and power and ability to produce runs. And so it's just, our offense is just amazing. And I don't think it's fluky either, right? Like, I think Jordan Westbrook is a really good hitter. And I don't know if he'll finish in top 10 of WAR. But, man, I think he's going to be a good player. I think he's a good, legit player. And same with Colton Cowser. And so I think, yeah, I just think our lineup is so deep. And as you mentioned, we have the depth. And we mentioned it last episode that the importance of depth, because we're going to start seeing injuries. And we're already seeing it. I mean, just since I don't remember exactly when Tyler Wells got hurt, But Tyler Wells is now in the 50-day DL, IL, I'm sorry. And Austin Hayes is now there. Ryan Mountcastle is missing. He's kind of day-to-day. So we'll see. They said he's available off the bench. But I guess we'll see about that. But this is, I think, you know, we're going to see some injuries pile up. So you hope it's not to any key players. But you also have Povic in the wings. You have Kerstedt in the wings. You have Norby in the wings. So I think just our team is built. And we have such balance, right, that if you hurt, like, let's say worst case scenario, Adley Rutschman gets hurt. And that's the position that I think that has the weakest depth. But again, he is not even in our top, you know, five or six on WAR, right? Like, our team is so
right.
aligned, but so balanced that you can live without his presence. And the offense is so good that we'll kind of pick up for him. And so, I mean, we've been able to withstand, you know, having an automatic out at second base for the past couple weeks. And it hasn't even really hurt our offense that much. So, yeah, I think it's just our offense. We just hit the ball so hard.
No, it's clicking and it is.
Top to bottom.
Yeah, it is. It's really clicking. We've had a couple dry days, but it's nice because it's given our bullpen a little bit of space because our bullpen and our pitching has been struggling until yesterday. Cole Irvin had a great outing.
How big was that start by Cole Irvin?
Huge. That's what we talked preseason about Cole Irvin, where we're like, what he needs to do. So if he can continue to build on that, that's huge.
It's above and beyond what we need him to do. Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
And that could not have come at a more important time to give our bullpen a little rest.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting right now because on the one hand, I talked about our offense, and I'm going to submit to you that we are a World Series contending team. We're first in the AL East, and yet we're rocking out there. Two of our five starters are Suarez, a journeyman from Japan, and Cole Irvin, who's trying to figure out as a starter.
Right.
It's just kind of amazing that we're able to kind of do what we are doing with those two guys as starters. So hopefully we continue that. It feels a little bit like duct tape, but hopefully that they'll continue to perform until Kyle Bradish or John Means get back healthy, and we'll see what happens with Tyler Wells. I'm curious about what's going to happen with Tyler Wells. If I assume Tyler Wells is going to come back in a couple weeks, and if he does, how has Bradish progressed? How has Means progressed? Because if they progressed well, how has Irvin progressed? It might be a natural moment to slide Wells right into the bullpen after the injury, not put him back in the start rotation. So I think that's something else to watch
for. That's true. Yeah, that could be. I mean, he pitched well in the pen last year.
Yeah. So, and
the pen's been struggling.
Right. I mean, he's multiple times he's pitched well in the pen. Yeah. Not just last year, but a couple years ago too.
True. I know he wants to. Right, he wants to be a starter, and we've seen good stuff in him before.
Everybody wants to be a starter. Sure.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe we can't. If really you just want to help the team.
Yeah. Hey, you know who's been really good in the bullpen?
Who? Who are you going with?
Craig Kimbrell.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, he has five saves. Has 14 strikeouts, has a whip of 0.33.
All right, that all sounds good.
He's somehow 3-0. I don't know how that works. Somehow it's 3-0.
Because we're the comeback kids. We've had those comebacks.
Yeah. So he's pitched really well. So that's been good to see.
Yeah. And in our rotation, I mean, it's been nice to see Rodriguez now has a better ERA than Corbin Burns.
Yeah.
Which I would not have guessed, but I also at the same time said, hey, I think Rodriguez is a real ace on our team. He just needs time to develop. And are we seeing Grayson, like the real Grayson Rodriguez now?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I mean, I called this at the beginning of the year that I think we're going to have kind of two aces and he's going to end. Grayson Rodriguez is going to be an all-star. If you look at the walk rate with Grayson Rodriguez, a little bit high at 8.3, but he's striking out a lot of guys. Like a 27% K rate.
24 innings for four games. So it's at six innings a game.
Yeah. I mean, ERA of 2.63. I mean, you can't get better than that. I mean, it really, this is looking like the ideal 1-2 punch. And this is what you want in the regular season, and this is more importantly what you want in the playoffs.
Yes.
Right. If you're rolling with Burns and Rodriguez games 1 and 2,
right,
you can stand up against anybody. I'll take those two against anyone else in the American League. Let's go. Yeah, so that has worked out. You never know, right? With young pitchers like Grayson Rodriguez, who struggled last year, then was sent down to AAA, came back, looked a lot better. You didn't know exactly what you were going to get this year with him, but he seems to picked up where he left off last year and is pitching really well. So I think that's great, encouraging news for the Orioles.
It really is. Yeah, it's exciting.
Yeah, it's a big deal. It's a big deal because you can think the one thing that limits us, our offense is going to be great. The one thing that could potentially limit us is lack of top rotation arms. And so the Orioles went out in the offseason. They got Corbin Burns, which was great. And now you pair with Grayson Rodriguez, and all of a sudden, the way he's pitching this year, not only do we have a top rotation arm, we have two. And last year, we had none. And you could argue for a long time we had none. And now we have two. So that's pretty cool.
Right.
And it's what you need.
It is.
And it's also the reason why it's really amazing, Josh. This, and I know it's a regular season stat and annoys me a little bit because what happened with the Rangers, but this, whatever it is now, the 97, whatever it is, of not losing a series.
Over a year of not losing a regular season.
We have Corbin Burns series. But last year, we didn't have Corbin Burns. like somehow we never lost a series without having a stopper. Now we have two stoppers in
right.
Burns and Rodriguez.
Yeah. Since Adley came up, right?
Yeah. Since Adley came up, we haven't lost a series.
Yeah. So that's got to be more than 180 games. Because Adley didn't come up last year.
Yeah, but I'm saying it's like 90-some series.
Oh, series, yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which is wild to think about. Again, the Rangers always, I know it's the playoffs, but still they swept us. But whatever. But yeah, I think right now, as far as question marks with this team, I feel great about Burns, Rodriguez, and I'm okay with Kramer. I have some hesitancy with Irvin and Suarez, though if they can kind of keep on doing what they're doing, at least till other guys get back and healthy, then I think we'll be fine. And then bullpen-wise, I don't know. I know like Mike Bauman has struggled, right? And Dylan Tate has struggled at times. And Johan Ramirez, I don't know why he's on this roster. But like one of the reasons he's on this roster, it's a testament to perhaps the lack of depth we have at bullpen. So I think bullpen to me is like, we got to figure this out. And because I think Ramirez, Bauman, I even wonder about Webb. Though he's pitched pretty well recently. Aiken, I wonder about too. He's pitched well except for one game, I feel like. I just wonder if they're long-term. Because, you know, you get in the playoffs, you get these five-inning starts, then you hand over to the bullpen. I don't know if we have four arms, which I feel good about. Right now I feel good about Coulomb and Cano.
Yes.
And Kimbrell. That's about it for me right now with that bullpen. So I think there's some serious question marks on the bullpen.
Yeah,
I think our offense can cover up for those concerns right now. But I think going forward, we're going to have to figure out this bullpen thing.
No, I agree. I felt good with Aiken for a while, but not anymore.
Yeah, and maybe it's not fair that Aiken had one bad outing and now we're saying, well, that discounts the five good outings he had or whatever. But it's also Aiken's history, right? Like Aiken has never been a really good, consistent bullpen arm.
Right.
Like that's not Keegan Aiken. And he's been on this team for a long time, so we know him well. And he hasn't been consistent ever. So I'm supposed to believe after five starts, this is a new Keegan Aiken. I have a hard time buying that.
Right. I agree.
Hey, Josh, I made the drive down to Jacksonville. Can I just share something that annoys me? And maybe I've talked about it on the show before.
Yep.
Because it was to the point where I'd driven 3 hours of the 4-hour drive, and I almost turned around after this happened.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right. So is this on the way down? Is this Friday night?
This is Friday night on the way down. Friday evening.
So Friday evening, you're driving down. I did notice that you were a little later than you said we'd meet there.
Yeah, so I missed my exit. And Josh, if you miss 10, I missed the 10 East.
Yes, that's a Florida problem. If you miss one exit, down.
There's no other exit to take.
That's all over the place.
Like,
in Florida.
Turn around.
If I had
literally like 10 miles before another exit, and by that point it was just quicker to the other way.
Every time I get on 95 or I'm going anywhere really in Florida, I put on my GPS, not because I don't know where I'm going, but I know that if I start daydreaming and I miss my exit, I know it's an extra 20 minutes added to my drive.
Yeah, it was. That's why it was extra 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And so, it was, and my problem was I had GPS on. I didn't have the audio on. I wasn't.
Right. No, I don't put the audio on either. So there's still a chance of missing it, but it's like some helpful. All right. So was it traffic? Because it's Friday night. You're trying to come to Jacksonville.
No, there's no traffic. No traffic. This all happened. Right. This happened to me in Valdosta, Georgia.
All right. All right. I'm very familiar with Valdosta. I go a couple times a year.
Yeah.
Friday night. I'm trying.
Yeah, you're
to
never going to guess what happened because this is a me issue.
Was the drive-through line at Chick-fil-A a little too long?
You're close. It was okay. it was a issue with. Now
cookout. Were you at cookout and the drive-through line got too long?
I don't go to cookout, Josh. Okay. There is one place I go to on road trips.
All right.
There is one place I go to. And this is, I don't really do a lot of the fast food stuff.
Is it specifically in Valdosta?
Well, the problem is it's not specifically in Valdosta, and I thought it was specifically.
Okay. All right.
And I feel like I've been given some false information about it being there, and it wasn't there. Okay? Because there is nothing I enjoy more. I like driving. It relaxes me. We do audiobooks.
Yep.
I just find driving really, I just really enjoy it.
Okay.
Long distances, I can think, whatever.
But when I do long road trips, I need to stop by a Wawa or something, and I grab a sandwich, grab some candy, a Red Bull, a little half and half. Okay, you got to load up for the road trip.
Right. I just do one thing, Josh. Dunkin' Donuts coffee. That's all I need. Give me a Dunkin' Donuts coffee.
Your disappointment is Dunkin'?
Josh, here's what happened, all right? I went through Warner Robins, which is kind of close to me, going south. And there's Dunkin' Donuts, Warner Robins. I didn't want to stop there because I like to drive a little bit before I get my Dunkin'. It's a four-hour drive. I don't want to get into an hour or so before I get my Dunkin'. So I was an hour in or 2 hours in. I need a Dunkin'. Josh, there's no Dunkin's. We got no Dunkin's on the road.
No, but there's that Iliano's all over Valdosta.
Okay, so finally I see. I don't know what that means. I don't know what you just said,
Josh. It's a coffee shop. I think it's Iliano's.
Okay.
It's
like a drive. I want Dunkin' for my road trip.
It's a drive-through coffee shop. They'll put like Red Bull in your coffee and stuff if you really want it.
Okay, yeah, I don't know. I like Dunkin'. So anyway, I put Dunkin', I put like, you know, add route. So I don't want to go out of the way.
Yeah.
I don't want to go on these.
Oh,
like,
that's, is that the greatest feature?
Like 5 miles down.
Yeah.
So it's got to be within 3 minutes.
Right.
So there's a Dunkin' in Valdosta. So I plug it in, Dunkin' Valdosta. I'm good. Like, that's a good stop about halfway there. You know, right before we cross the border into Florida. I'm pumped about it too, because I love my Dunkin'. And so I'm pumped about it. I'm thinking about my Dunkin' the whole time. And then I take the exit, and there's a sign, you know, where they have on the side of the highway that there's a Dunkin' there. There's a sign for Dunkin'.
The little sign, the little blue sign that says all the food that's off there. Yeah.
All right, let's go. I'm excited. And I pull in. Josh, it's one of these Dunkin' Expresses where just means they have like it's inside a gas station. They have probably 5-day-old Dunkin' coffee in a container inside a gas station. It's not a Dunkin'
Donuts. And it got a road sign? It got a road sign for that?
It got a road sign. And it's within a gas station, and it's just a little stand that has, you know, the coffee dispenser, and it says Dunkin' on top of it. That's not a Dunkin' Donuts coffee.
Right. I've ran into that crap before.
And I almost turned around. I was so upset. And there was no other Dunkin's around. And I was so upset I wanted to turn around.
I'm glad you didn't turn around, because I enjoyed hanging out with you and Silas this weekend.
I ended up getting the gas station version of the coffee, not even the Dunkin' version of coffee.
But I understand that. I was going on a road trip somewhere recently, and it had to be Georgia, because I'm always up in Georgia. So right. It had to be up there. I was driving home or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I needed something to eat. So I did the same thing. I go on my, on the Apple Maps and I hit like lunch near me.
Right. Sure. Yeah.
And a Quiznos popped up. And I said, I haven't had Quiznos in forever. I thought they went out of business.
I did too. I haven't had yeah. Quiznos forever either.
So I said, give me directions to Quiznos.
Sure.
And it was right. It said it was right off the exit. Same thing. Signs on the blue sign says Quiznos. I pull on in, and it's a little counter inside of a gas station.
Yeah, they need to make. And that's the thing too. The phone said, like, this is a normal Dunkin'. There was yes. no, like, this is a there's gas no, station Dunkin'.
No, there needs to be a little Dunkin'. Asterisk. There needs to be a little asterisk of,
yes.
Like, we bought the signs that say Dunkin'. So.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even get the why it's on the blue road sign. It shouldn't be on there. And it definitely shouldn't be on my phone as a Dunkin'.
It shouldn't be on the map. It should only be in the store if you go in the store and the little container says, donuts provided by Dunkin'. That's the only place. They shouldn't be advertising that outside of the store.
Right. Yeah, it shouldn't show up on my GPS. Just because they happen to sell. I mean, Krispy Kreme doesn't pop up, and sometimes gas stations sell Krispy Kreme donuts, don't they? It doesn't show up in my app as a Krispy Kreme. I don't think it does. Well, maybe it does now. I don't know. I'm questioning everything.
I saw McDonald's is starting a partnership with Krispy Kreme, so you'll be able to get Krispy Kreme at McDonald's.
Oh, really? I'm okay when you have the Dunkin' Donuts store attached to a gas station. I'm okay with that.
See, I don't
like... Because
it's
a separate Dunkin' Donuts attached to a gas station.
Yeah, I still kind of look down on that a little, but it's better than what you're describing.
But this isn't even that. This is just a normal gas station that happens to sell,
right?
I guess, so, Dunkin' Donuts coffee within the gas station, but there's no Dunkin' Donuts employees there.
Right.
To verify that it's truly Dunkin' Donuts coffee. And I like them to make it for me.
Yeah, I normally
usually just drink black coffee, but when I go to Dunkin', I get the cream and sugar. I don't know why, but I like when they do it, and I can't replicate that.
That's normally like a Starbucks move where you go to like the resort or you go on a cruise and it'll say, oh, we have a Starbucks coffee here. And it's not, they've got a little coffee shop that has a Starbucks sign that sells like four drinks.
Exactly. But it doesn't come up as a Starbucks on my GPS probably.
It probably does.
Oh, really?
But it's also in situations where you normally wouldn't look up a GPS to see, hey, what's in this resort? Right. You just happen to be there.
Right. Like a lot of places, you go to a local hospital here, they sell Starbucks coffee.
Yes.
At the hotel.
Yes. But see, that's the thing. That's what I was thinking.
You can't get any mixed drinks. You can't get any like fancy drinks. It's just the Starbucks.
Right. But a lot of times a Starbucks in like a hotel lobby will come up as a Starbucks on your GPS.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But
I don't know. I haven't tried that.
If it's just like that, the Continental breakfast, they also serve Starbucks drip coffee.
Right. I just think someone needs to. It really irritated me because, again, it's that whole vibe. I love a cup of, you know, Dunkin' coffee while I drive. It's the whole vibe. I was looking forward to it for miles. And then you get there and it's a gas station. And it really ticked me off.
Oh, I understand. That's annoying. That's annoying.
All right. Glad I got that off my chest. I could even, at that point, I would have even taken a Wawa, but there's no Wawas around either.
No, Wawa.
You got to get deep into the heart of Florida to get to Wawa.
Wawa and Sheetz. We don't have Sheetz down here. We got Racetrack, which is getting better.
We got QT here. I don't like QT.
No, QT is nothing.
That's a poor man.
Wawa and Sheetz are the best road trip stops. And all right, everyone down, Buc-ee's. Everyone goes crazy about Buc-ee's.
I can't do Buc-ee's.
I'm over it.
But you know what also takes me about Buc-ee's, Josh? Because occasionally, like, well, maybe I want to do Buc-ee's. And so when I drive somewhere,
yes,
between the drive, there's always a bill for Buc-ee's. And sometimes it excites me, oh, there's a Buc-ee's. Because I think there's nowhere here, middle of nowhere, billboard says Buc-ee's. And then you look underneath, it says Buc-ee's 150 miles.
Yeah, it's like it's
fucking
like
billboards, 150 miles.
Well, it's outside like Pedro.
Of Get out of here with those billboards.
They learned from Pedro and south of the border.
Yeah, they got to chill out with the billboards.
And I know I'm spoiled because Buc-ee's is 5 miles from my house.
It's in your backyard.
And I drive past it all the time.
In your backyard.
Yeah. So really, I'm just irritated with Buc-ee's because it's always crowded and it's always packed and it causes backups at the light. So I only go to Buc-ee's if it's after 10 p.m. That's my rule.
Yeah. I don't go to Bucky's either for those crowds.
So.
All right. Glad we got those things off my chest.
Yeah. And just in time for some late night baseball.
Yeah. All day, like, I was like, this is a good ball night. Like, we got Orioles on. I like the Lakers. I'm intrigued by them. So the Lakers and Nuggets are playing at 10. So I'm like, this is going to be a late night. I'm kind of pumped for it. And then like 7:38 rolls around and I was like, I could fall asleep right now. That's always like 8 o'clock. I'm like, I could go to bed right now.
Yep. I told my wife earlier today, I love late night baseball. And then I realized, oh, I love late night baseball on the weekends.
Yeah. So I'm going to try to stay up for as much of this game as I can. If I can make it to the sixth inning, I'm going to pat myself on the back.
I will probably fall asleep watching the game.
Yeah. Oh, this could be one of those things. Why does every West Coast game go into 13 innings and you wake up at 2 a.m. to see the end? Right. Doesn't that happen at least once a year?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it could be one of those situations.
So, the Instagram feed just cut us off. Apparently, Instagram cuts everyone off after an hour. So anyone watching on Instagram misses the end of the show.
Well, yeah, you can download the podcast. It's not that hard.
Yeah, but they also can't hear you say that because we already got disconnected from Instagram.
Oh, well, they probably already have gone and downloaded the podcast and listened in there. And
that's true.
So they figured it out. So good. Congrats to you, buddy. Figuring that out. All right, let's get out of here. You can follow us on all your social media platforms. How come I'm not seeing any more TikTok clips come out, Josh?
I've been busy. It's coming back.
All right, you gotta get your priorities straight.
It's coming back. It's a good, and I'm playing with maybe I've been working on some other podcasts.
Yeah.
And learning some tips and stuff, so it might even change a little bit of how we do our video as well.
Oh yeah, we're gonna be doing some cool stuff from those other podcasts.
That's the idea.
Yeah, I like that.
So, right. But yeah, we'll be getting clips back.
All right. Yeah, so you can follow us on TikTok and Instagram. Obviously, Josh just mentioned it. Just search for Section 336. You can follow us on X. You can follow me on X at Section 336. You can follow Josh on X.
At Josh Taroka and at Birdland Sports. I did get up the Teamwork shirt that you requested, Matt.
Thank you.
I have not finished my Milkman designs yet because I am behind.
Okay. You going to prepare a shirt for Ryan McKenna's call-up?
The second coming? The second coming of McKenna?
Yeah, second coming or something? Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm back.
Yeah. I'm back, but not for long.
Right. Exactly.
All right, boys and girls. Well, thanks for listening. And as always, go O's.